Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to start with a passage in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. I'll start back with the 9th verse, 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, very thankful tonight for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the privilege that I've had in my life to know Him, to live for Him, to have His blessings in my life. I appreciate His salvation, His sacrifice. I'm glad for what He's done for me. And it says here that He laid a foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. People put their trust and confidence in a lot of things that's not worthy of it. I was thinking back of some of the history of this country, and of course I'm by far too young to have been involved in it, but I have known some that were. 1929 stock market crash. Brother Jim White up at home was born and raised in West Virginia, a little town there, very poor. Told us that he had 2 shirts when he was growing up. He had one that he wore doing things and one he wore for school. 2 shirts. We don't really think much of that kind of life, but that's the way Brother Jim grew up. They tried to plant a little garden every year. They never owned a car in his growing up years. And ask him one time, he was born in 22, so he was rather young when the crash happened, but he grew up through the Depression. And ask him, how did it affect you? And he said, the Depression didn't affect us folks, none. He said, you can't tell the difference from when you're as poor as we was. Said it already affected us all. Because we didn't have nothing when it started. We didn't have nothing when it got through. That's the way we live life. They hadn't put their trust in anything. There was nothing for them to fall. They went on in life the way they was living. They planted their own things, made their own things, made their own way. Didn't affect them much. But you know, there was people during that time, you can read about it, that had a lot invested in the stock market. There was men of great wealth that had at least paper wealth. They owned things, had paper wealth of things, and they had stock in things and those kind of things, that virtually went from very, very wealthy to absolutely nothing that fast. There were stories of people that took their life because they had invested so many years of their life and so much energy and so much effort to get to where they was going that it was hopeless that they could ever do it again. And it so discouraged them that they took their own lives. They put it on a foundation that wouldn't hold them and wouldn't secure them. That isn't worth anything. Folks, the scripture says that talks about the deceitfulness of riches. Do you know riches is deceitful if you don't lose them? Because they make a promise that they can't keep. Riches somehow in our modern world make the promise that if you have them, you'll be happy. But rich people ain't happy. I would say that you might be a little bit happier in a sense than if you at least had enough. But there's too many people that kill themselves and make messes of their life and do all that to say that it's not lying to somebody. A couple years ago, there was at the time, it was one of the biggest Powerball lotteries. It was the biggest Powerball lottery in the United States. It got upwards of, if you can believe this, near $500 million. $500 million, something to that effect. And so there was a lot of interest in that. It'd be something to buy a Powerball ticket and win $500 million. And the higher it gets, the more interest it gets. Because people are saying, what, my dreams, what could I do? What could I buy? What could I have? Would end all the wrestling around about getting money or having it or paying bills or all that. People were very interested in it. Heard a little news forecast right there at the time, or a little news thing that talked about it. And so they said, the headlines was, is, do you really want to win it? And they went back and done a little study of past Powerball winners, big winners of millions of dollars. And they went and looked at the course of their life. And in the middle of the course of their life, would you believe that people that win great amounts of money still kill themselves? Do you realize that it doesn't cement family and friends? Do you realize that there's broken homes and broken families with that kind of money, and that there's wrecked lives and even suicide? Well, I would suggest that we not think of that as a very good foundation tonight. It's not a good foundation. I know of people that put their whole interest and idea in a hobby or into a certain thing they like to do. There is people that are so into sports that they get all their emotional energies wrapped up into a team. But I'm going to tell you, in many situations, there's lots and lots of teams, and there's more disappointed people than there are glad ones at the end of it. There is heartache. There is crying. I have actually seen pictures. Folks, this is a game, right? It's a game. It's an entertainment, isn't it? Could you believe a grown man that probably wouldn't cry over anything? Some of them are abusers of other people and that kind of thing. Will sit with their face in their hands and weep when they lose. The fans weep when they lose. What sense does it make for a winning sports team to tear your city up? I don't get that one. Now, the losers tear their city up sometimes too, but at least you can say they're upset, they're hurt. But the winners will do that in riding us and making merry and doing that. They go and destroy their city. It's a bad foundation. It won't, it don't, and do you know what happens with it? A year rolls by and there's a new champion. Every time somebody else, well, let's say repeat, but they do that, they enter, and people get so invested in that, and they give so much for so little. Yeah. There is many things that you and I can put our hearts on tonight, many things that we can want to secure us, because I think that's really what people are really trying to do. I think the bottom line of it is that people are trying to find something to get them through the day, through the week, through the... They want something to help them to do that. And to involve in that, it is exciting, and it's got something, it does something. Of course, that's what entertainment is. Entertainment, the two words, entertain means to hold. Tain means to hold from within. People are held from within. That place in there, you know that the Lord wants to entertain us. He wants to hold our attention from within. He wants to be our helper. He wants to be to us the one that we look to for a bad day. I remember talking with this young lady, and she was smoking. And I knew her, and I talked to her before, and there was a time that she had told me that the Lord had convicted her of smoking, and she quit. Well, I seen her smoking. Well, listen, I wasn't being overly bold. I had the relationship with her to do this, okay? So I said, "What are you doing? Smoking." Well, she said, I just had to have a smoke. And I said, "You told me the Lord convicted you of that. Now, did he change his mind?" "Well, no, he didn't change his mind. I mean, you're still living for the Lord, right?" "Yeah, yeah, I'm living for the Lord. "Well, did he change his mind?" "Well, it was kind of hard for her to deal with. Well, maybe I was mistaken about what his impressions before." "Well, yeah, sure." I said, "Do you know what is really wrong with smoking?" Yeah, she said. "I've heard it all." She said, "I know. It's bad for my body and it's the temple and..." "Well, yeah, that's true." But I said, "That's not the problem." I said, "You know what the real problem with your smoking is?" I said, "You're substituting that cigarette in the place of the Lord." She said, "You don't think so?" And I said, "No, I know so." I said, "What do you do when some event happens that gets you stressed or stirred up?" She said, "I got to have a cigarette." I said, "Exactly. Do you know that's what the Lord is there for? The Lord wants to hold us from within. He wants us to come to Him. He wants a relationship. I thank God for this foundation that is personal foundation for every one of our lives. This foundation isn't just the church at large. The church is made up of individuals. The church is only as strong as its individuals. The relationship that the church has with the Lord is the relationship that each individual has. And it's collectively we come as a body to the Lord. But God, He made a plan and He made a foundation for you, for me. I thank God for the foundation. I'm glad that I don't have to go to some popery head and get my instructions on how to live the Lord for the Lord. I'm glad that I don't have to go to some man and ask him for permission of where I ought to go or do or pray or sing or do whatever I have to do. I'm glad there's a foundation of God that's for my life. That I can have a relationship with the Lord, a very personal relationship. So yes, I do believe tonight that smoking is a habit, and I feel for it, and God wants to help. I know in that, but it is a replacement for the Lord. Do you know that most purely entertainment items is just exactly that? It is used as a replacement for something. Some place that the Lord wants to hold in a person's life. I'm thinking of a sermon that I read one time. It was somebody gave me a book of sermons of John Wesley. John Wesley was known for being the founder of the Methodist Church. But back in his day, lived a very holy way, and had a very sound way about him. And he preached a message that probably impacted me more than anything I read except for the Bible itself. He had a message that the title of it was Salvation Greater Than the Garden. And in that, there was so many explanations, not that he explained it out, but that the Lord used that to trigger these things in my life or in my thinking. Salvation greater than the garden. He said in the garden, Adam and Eve knew God personally, but only as creator. God Almighty. Sovereign God. God of the universe. God of all knowledge. But they never knew Him as God Redeemer. Greater. It spoke something to my heart. Salvation, greater than the garden. It explains to me, without me going into the detail, explains to me why they're suffering in the world. It explains a lot of things deep to me because of it. Salvation. Greater than the garden. Well, you know, you and I will want to look and say, well, that garden experience would have been wonderful. But I'm going to tell you, there's a greater experience than that garden experience. There is the salvation experience to where we can know Jesus Christ as Redeemer, the lover of our soul. God that had no way to reveal to Adam and Eve the true love that He had. He had no way to show to mankind how much He really loved them. Tonight, do you realize how much you're loved? Do you realize what this foundation costs and how valuable this foundation is and how strong this foundation is? This foundation is to take you and I from this earth to heaven, and it will hold us in every need we have. This is a good foundation. Nothing that the devil's ever planned, nothing that the world's ever come up with, nothing that man has ever tried will ever disturb or enlarge this foundation. This foundation is the most surest thing of all eternity. This is based on the Word of God. This is a foundation that you and I can have. It ain't built yet. A house isn't built just because there's a foundation. He said we're a building of God and we're built on a foundation. If we build it right. Because we have to build. But the foundation, I want to tell you, I'm thankful tonight for the foundation. I'm glad for that one that gave Himself for me. Now, I don't believe that there's ever been a more impressive story. The greatest story ever told was of one that did no wrong. There was no evil word in Him. There was no evil intent in Him. There was no sin. Who done no sin. Gave Himself for sinners. It's the greatest story ever told. That one that did no wrong paid my penalty, your penalty. Wow, what a story. I remember a man, some of you may have knew him. I know some of you knew him. They're gone now. I'll speak freely of them. Brother and Sister Tinsley, Earl and Ava Tinsley. Sister Tinsley spent a number of the end of her years in the Golden Rule Home. Sister Tinsley was of a feeble mind. That's the best you can say of it. From a young woman, she was of a feeble mind. Her husband met her and married her. And when they married, Sister Ava took ill. Not physically ill, but she was mentally ill. She was of a weak mind. I saw this and was absolutely amazed at it, and it challenges me today. And brother, I'm going to tell you, I'm challenged today by it. I wish I was the man that Earl Tinsley was. He married her, and those that understand can understand. He never knew her as a wife. I understand. He was married to her for years. Years. She went, and I was, as I come up through my young ministry, she would call Brother Sammy, she'd call Brother Tony, she'd call me at times. She could predict her oncoming spells. When she was going to be sick, when she was going to have a breathing spell, she could predict it. And if I had to work long hours, she wouldn't have one. And when I was available, she'd have one. And she would be in the office, laboring fit, and she'd call me, and I'd go up and prayer, have prayer with her. And I kind of just followed Brother Salmon. Seems like he just kind of pandered to her. So I didn't, that's what I did too. Went up and, I can't sing much, but I went up and sung to her and had prayer with her and those kind of things and done that. But this is what I want to say. She was mentally in a mental situation. So she'd leave Brother Earl outside the room. And his whole life was the desire to get to be with her. Years. Years of it. He wanted to be with his wife. And she had a little bell, and the whole day may go by with him just in there by himself. Nothing hardly going on. Met there many times, and he was just there by himself. And when she rung that little bell for him, he would come. And all of that, he loved. He loved his wife. He didn't say what he could get out of it or what it meant to him. He just sacrificed the years of his life to get her food, to wait on her, to help her. He sacrificed his years. It makes me to think of greater is salvation than the garden. It makes me to think of, I'm not impressed with strength all the time. Brother Earl got to be a man that could hardly do for himself, but he longed to do for his wife. It was a case where I looked at it and said, he's got something that all of us ought to have something of. You may never heard his name. You may have heard the great John Wesley's. You may have heard of the great preachers, the Moody's, and you may have heard of that. You probably not heard much of Brother Tinsley, but he preached a message. He preached something that goes beyond of anything I ever seen. He done something that I don't know. I've looked at it before and said, could I be that kind of a man that gave up so much and got so little? In this life, I'm saying. But that's what the Lord did. Do you know the Lord did that for you and I? Well, in a personal sense from the flesh, what did Jesus gain but what he done for us? As a man, I'm saying. As a man on this earth, what did he gain from it? He didn't have a place to put his head, he said. He didn't have riches. He didn't have great honors. He didn't have none of those things that he done. But he came and made a foundation. This is the foundation. Do you know the foundation that the apostle's talking about is the life of Jesus Christ? That is the foundation that he has laid for you and I to build upon. That is what we've got to consider and to understand, that Jesus Christ lived a life, and that life is to be manifested in us. It's what is our solid things if we'll build our lives on that. We had it the other night. That's what the rock Jesus is. And we build our lives on that. And it'll be secure throughout all, no matter what happens in this life. That is a secure place that will not ever move. But we have some things to consider here. Let's consider the scripture here. It says that there, for other foundations can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, is it possible then to build on this foundation that was laid, that is Jesus Christ, perfectly laid? No flaws in it. Won't crumble or crack. Won't give in to the pressures. But is it possible to build on that wood, stubble, and hay? But if there's to build on it, what do we build on it? If we build on it gold and silver and precious stones, it'll match up. Perfection built on the perfect foundation. You know, people have tried to build on this foundation many, many things. There have been organizations that build on this foundation of Jesus Christ, of forgiveness of sins, of hope of eternal life, of blessings, of God's influence in our lives, and they build on it. But they build on it in wood and stubble and hay. I remember back in my young days there was a television evangelist. He basically had one message. His message was, you send me your money and you'll be blessed. You know, I would think, naturally thinking, I would think nobody will fall for that. That is obviously a pickpocket. Do you know that people listen to that message and come to that man in the droves? Why not? It was easier to pay money than it is to labor in prayer. It's even easier to send him money than it is to do the things that it takes. It takes something sometimes of self-sacrificing time, of giving up of myself, those kind of things. It's easier to send money. That man made at one point was bringing in $1 million a week with that message. Oh, God, you can't outgive God. True. You can't. So you send me your money and God will send it to you. You cast it upon the waters and it'll come back to you not many days and it'll come back in a plenty. You need something in your life, he's saying. You need a new car. You need a better job. Send me your money. And they sent the money. And believed in him. Had a big name. And then he was uncovered. Send these buses out there. Pick up these people. Bring them in and clothe them. Bring them in. Put jackets on them. Bring them in. Bring them in for the photo shoot. Take them out to the next door. Take the jackets back off of them. Put them on the bus and take them back to where they got them from. Start investigating this guy and all of the healings and stuff that they did in their thing was all fraudulent. The whole thing crumbled and gone. I think the guy may have even spent some jail time. It was a fraud. It was a bad foundation. People fall for that kind of stuff. I remember hearing this news thing one time. I was very alert to this. It was very appealing to me. There's a church in California. It used to be a rather large congregation of people, and it had withered down. It was just a few people, a handful. So this pastor of this congregation didn't know what to do, so he finally looks around and gets some advice, and they said, you need to call. There's a man that he is an expert in dealing with people in congregations. So he calls this man, and this expert comes in and looks the situation over and does a little study on the population and sees what kind of people's out there and what kind of population's in the area and all. And he comes and tells the guy that within a year, you do it right, within a year, you can have 1,000 people here. Within 2 years, 10,000. 3 years, I'll give you 25,000 people. And he did it. So the guy on the news says, stay tuned. You know how they hold you. Stay tuned. And we're going to ask him how he did that. Well, I'm sitting and thinking during the break. What could he have possibly have done? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I start thinking of these scriptures and these passages of scriptures. You know what his answer was? They asked him, how did you do it? Bottom line. You gotta give people what they want. You gotta give them what they want. The key is to get to young people. Young people need something to do. Let's give them gymnasiums, movie nights, do all this stuff. They started doing all that stuff. This guy was an expert in people. But he's got a bad foundation, folks. It won't save you. It isn't the great large groups of people that'll do it. Lord, help us. Because now the foundation's been laid and the life has been lived. Jesus already lived the life. And all we got to do to go and see how to build on that is the foundation's been laid. I need to go and see all the evidence. And now, what would Jesus do is the motto of all of us. How should I perform in this? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus bring? Do you think Jesus was interested in the multi-thousands? He would have got him. He would have talked to him if he could have. But it's not what he done. Lord, help us that we build on this foundation that the Lord has laid for us. People have built wrong on this foundation for millennia. This foundation was a good foundation. But Christianity has built wood and stubble and hay on it. Build a lot of bad things on it. The Crusades go down through the history as a Christian thing. They were less than godly. That wasn't the way of the Lord. The Lord comes saying things like, I didn't come to this world to judge it. I come to save it. Right? You know, there was three major crusades. And do you know, just for your information, as we deal more and more into the world, the Muslim, for the most part, the Muslim people, even though it's been hundreds of years, the Muslim people have not forgotten the Crusades. Just so you'll know, it is one of the main things that's handed down from father to son in that world. They vividly tell the battles and what happened during the Crusades, even to this day. When George W. Bush stood up and said after 9/11 that he was going to wage, and he did not use it in the same term at all, but it is a term that's used. He said he was going to mount a crusade against evil. That word crusade resonated across the Muslim world as the old Crusades. It's still there as a very vivid part of their world. They haven't forgot it. And that was done in the name of Christ. It was wood and stubble and hay, and the day declared it as being awful, but it is resignated. Even today, it still goes down in history as a Christian act. You know, we ain't responsible for the Crusades. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, don't suppose that your Christian attitudes won't carry generational weight. Because it will. When we build upon this foundation, we need to, as the apostle says, that we ought to, how does he say it? We ought to take heed of how we, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We are going to represent this foundation that was laid in the life of Christ that was laid out for us and for this world. And for the most part, the things that we suffer as Christians, I'm going to say this. Bad Christianity, false Christianity has done more to damage the Christian than all the sinners can do. A bad life, folks, will do more damage to the cause of the Christ than all the best preachers can cover up and outpreach. It will do more damage and long-lasting damage to your family. Take heed on how you build on this foundation. I'm thinking of the situations to where I've seen people that got disgruntled somewhat with somebody else. Can I say today, take heed of how you build thereon? I've known people that would get a little disgruntled, and then they would start talking bad about the members of the congregation. I'm not saying that the members of the congregation didn't have some flaws. I'm just saying I saw the disgruntled attitude, them build something, and their children hear every word of it. And lose confidence in good people. And lose confidence in a good way. And it goes on until the whole thing is destroyed. And at the end of it, in the shipwreck of their children, they're sitting wondering what happened to them. Usually blaming somebody else for it. Wondering what happened in it when they didn't build on the foundation right. They did not build gold on it. Because what happens, we make our testimonies many times by the excitement of our minds, or our intellect, or what we want to believe that we don't have. We build on that, and we say things, and we do these things, and people watching on, and then when the problems come, or the fire comes, it starts showing what the life really is. Wood will burn up in a fire. It'll catch fire. And it'll consume itself away. Stubble and hay. You'll ask the old, what do you say, the old children's fable of the three pigs. Well, it's just a fable, but there's supposed to be a moral to a fable. That's the definition of it. Building straw, building sticks. They're building stones. And the one with the stones is the one that kept it out. And this is the same idea Lord, help you and I that we would build upon this foundation that the Lord built, and that we would look at the life of Christ and build our lives according to the life of Christ. That we would lay upon that foundation as the plumb line. Is it? There's a reason for the plumb line. There's a reason for square. There's a reason for level. There's a reason you build that way. That is, if it can go up true without leaning or casting over, it's right on the foundation. Sets right on the foundation, good and strong, right on the foundation. Lord, help us to have that kind of quality life and to put on that, just what the Lord would have us to put on it. I'm going to tell you, a major building part of the Lord's buildings is the love of God. Lord, help us to have a good dose of it. The love of God. That we can love. And that the love is shown in our building. That it is why we do what we can do. We can say things that is strong. We can say things that is right to the point. We can have that kind of thing. As long as it's tempered by the love of God. Oh, it'll come off right when it needs to, when it's got that kind of foundation to it. The Scripture says, now if any man build thereon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, do you know those things cannot be burnt up by fire because they were created by great fire and pressure? Precious stones, diamonds, rubies, those kind of things were made under extreme heat. And they can even, there's man-made diamond now. They make diamond bits and those kind of stuff. And the way they do it is under an extreme heat and under a magnificent pressure. And it withstands. It'll stand this that we have to deal with in life. Every man's work shall be manifest. Every man's work shall be manifest. Oh, Lord, help us. Because the day will... The time? How much time do you have? You give it enough time, and you'll be able to see it clearly. You give it enough time, you'll see the weather it can take the storms. Many times things ain't tested for a while, but it's when the test comes that you'll really see what you've been building on, what you've really got. I'm interested tonight in being faithful. I'm interested in this group of people, and all groups of people, being able to find that faithful place. Because it isn't about me. It's about our souls. It's about being able to meet the Lord in it. It's about being able to face. I don't know what 2015 and beyond holds. I get an inkling. I can read it in the Scriptures. There's some prophecies, but I don't know what all I'm going to have to face in life. You don't either. You don't know what this country is going to go to in our lifetime, let alone our children's lifetime. Lord help, it's on a fast pace. We don't know that persecution may come back in its literal form. We don't know. There is persecution already, mentally. There's already a great work against Christianity. We don't know what we'll face. But we can know that gold and silver and precious stones endure the test of time. That we can know that if I put in my life what the Lord put in His life, if I'm willing to humble myself, then humble? Is that something that the Lord or the world highly esteems? You know, we have this little thing. I keep up with some of the news. We have this little coming up to the presidential election. Have these 17 Republicans, like 16 now, whatever it is, running for office. And there's one of them that's at the top that I just keep thinking of the Scripture. That pride cometh before a fall. I just can't help from thinking that there's an awful lot of pride there. I don't like it. I don't like it because it don't fit the foundation. It's not the way to live life, folks. Whatever any man has ever done and accomplished in his life that was worth anything was really done because of the Lord. Do you know that? There was a time that there was a man in the Bible that looked around, and if you read history, yeah, he's in history. I mean secular history. There was a man named Nebuchadnezzar that was actually a Babylonian leader, and his name was in history. And he was known for the one of the eight wonders of the world was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. He had a wife from a distant land. She had there and she was unhappy. So to make her happy, he had went and got these plants from her native land and created this fabulous garden of aqueducts and all this that watered these fabulous, all these plants and stuff from her land, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. But after all that he'd done, he walks out one day according to the scriptures and says, "How great am I? How big am I? Look what my hands have done. And it displeased the God of heaven. Your hands? You can dig up a plant and go plant it and claim that you've done something? Work with my earth and give it some of my water? And let you breathe my air and eat my food and claim that you're great and that you've done something." And you know, the Lord was displeased at him, and he was, 7 years eating out in the field, and the Lord had struck to do that until he knew there was a God in heaven. He come back from that after that time, but he knew something then. How close do you think every one of us is from insanity? Now, maybe all of you all are of a stronger character and fortitude than I am. But I have to wonder about myself sometimes. Just how close, how far I'm off from being like Nebuchadnezzar. All the Lord would have to do is withdraw it from us, our thinking, and we would be like that too. And that's why we give honor and praise to God and God alone. It isn't the things of this world, but it's God that gives us these things. And He's laid for us, and I'm glad that He did. He gave us a foundation to build on. I want to look at a scripture over in 22nd chapter of Luke. Oh, I'm glad for the foundation. And folks, you can find this all through the Gospels. And all through the Bible, in the volume of the book it is written of this man called Jesus, you can see the prophecies. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the center point of all human history? He's the center point, all focus. From the beginning to the time of Christ, from now to the back to Christ, He is the center of all of it, is Jesus Christ. And He lays down a way of life for you and I. In the 22nd chapter, I want to look about the 39th verse, 22nd chapter of Luke. "And he came out and went, and as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, 'Pray that ye enter not into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about his stones cast, and kneeled down and prayed." Now, folks, this is coming up to the time at the conclusion of Jesus' ministry. I've wondered about this before. Have you ever faced something that's impending in your life? Ending all of his life. It was pending. He never dealt with it all the time, did he? But on occasions, it must have come to his mind that it's there. It's there. I've had those kind of things, so I've said, "I got to do this." I've had that kind of stuff happen in my ministry before. Praying, "Lord." Somebody asked me to do something or something like that, and it's coming, and I know it's coming. Somebody asked me, will you marry us? Yeah, I'd be honored to marry you. But you're not getting married for 6 months. And I start thinking about that and praying about that. But just a little. Just a little. It's so far out in the future. Right? But as that time gets closer and closer, it becomes more urgent. I start asking the Lord. And do you know the night before that wedding I'm going to perform? I'm getting real earnest before the Lord. Sometimes it's a funeral that you've said, yeah, I'll do it, and they're going to die, and you're going to do a funeral as a minister, and all of a sudden, I want the right word. I want the blessings of the Lord. I'm very incapable. Do you all want to tell you? I'm going to reveal something about myself. I very rarely can be coaxed into speaking any private, public thing if I'm not ministering. I'm very uncomfortable with public speaking. And I don't dare try it unless I think the Lord's going to be with me. Now, there's times that I think He'll be in those kind of things, but when I'm asked to do something, I'll say, if the Lord's with me, I'll do it. But as to stand up and give something publicly, I don't like to do that. But sometimes that'll happen, and I'll do it, and I get very earnest right before their Lord. Help us. And then sometimes moments when I'm getting ready for, Lord, I feel the pressure of it, and I wonder about Jesus here at this time. I want to remind you that this is the foundation that's laid. Because sometimes the devil will come in and he'll make accusations. And sometimes groups and people make accusations and do those kind of things. Some people will come and say things like, you ain't spiritual if you're weeping over the loss of a loved one. I've heard that. But we have a foundation laid of one that wept. Okay? It's a good foundation. We have a foundation of one that's about to go into a severe thing. And when the devil's going to accuse you of not being spiritual, you can lay it on the foundation here. Because Jesus is now coming to this point, and there's something ahead of him, and he ain't kicking around jollyfying on top of everything. No, he's starting to deal with a problem here. I'm going to tell you, this is a good foundation. Jesus is telling us how to deal with these kind of things. He lays down, folks, a foundation here for you and I to deal with the most severe things in life. And folks, the day's going to declare it. The day's going to see what we're going to have at the end of it. Jesus died on a cross, but in some way or another, every one of us is probably, more than likely, bound for some suffering and pain before we get out of this world. And Jesus laid a foundation for us that we can know how to go through it. And sometimes things are hard, and we have loss of things, and we go through that. And if the folks at the depression, if the folks that had been in the depression and lost all their financial means, if it had this foundation, they'd have been just fine. He says, and he withdrawed from them about his stones cast, and kneeled down and prayed. It's a good foundation, folks. He kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, it's okay for you to ask the Lord to remove the difficulties of your life. Oh, don't think yourself less spiritual because something comes that's interfering with you. It's more than acceptable to ask our great God to remove those things out of our life. Jesus did. He's about to face this terrible suffering. No, it wasn't just suffering, folks. I'm convinced that in Jesus' plate was much more than the pain of this body. People have went through all kind of terrible sufferings in this planet. Jesus was also going to drink. He was going to feel in his being. He was going to feel the corruptness and the rottenness and the filthiness of sin. He was going to have God turn his face. There was going to be a moment to where he was going to be the vilest of sinner. And that's part of this cup, that he's going to have to face this. He's going to suffer the body, the weakness, but he's going to take on him the sin. My sins was enough to make me feel terrible. I felt terrible. The guilt of sin. The awfulness of it. He took it all for all ages. On himself, it must have been awful. I wake sometimes still out of out of a sleep in my waking moments and where I'm really not alert to my senses and yet I'm not totally asleep, and I will get in this place to where the devil loves to take advantage, and I'll feel the awful, this awful sense of absolute doom and dread of death. And it gives me a sense of knowledge of what Jesus must have felt, the death of that cross. And he has to face it. It's the coming time. He's not a little boy anymore in the temple. He's not the one that was turning water to wine now. Now he's in the new phase. He's coming into the phase of having to go to that cross. And here's the way he's facing it. Not my will. Folks, it is our key. This foundation that the Lord laid for us, there's a key to that foundation and building on that foundation. And that building on that foundation, gold and silver and precious stones, is not building my will on it. My will is wood and stubble and hay. My will is the things that's going to corrupt and be shipwrecked. The way you build on this foundation is not my will, Lord, but thy will be done in my life. Help me to know what to do and how to do it. I don't always know what the proper way is. It's just the truth. And you all might look and say, well, how could you not know? But sometimes it takes the Lord dealing with my feeble mind to get me to understand what I ought to do and what's right. I remember one time vividly thinking of a situation and how I should respond to it. And I come to what I thought was the godly answer and what I was going to do. It was right. It was right. You know, the Lord started talking to me, and this is the way He did it. I love to read all these Hudson Taylor and George Mueller, and I love to read the old saints, Brother Murphy and Brother Pruitt, and I loved reading those books of those ones that went before us, and the faithfulness that they had, and how they faced their problems, and they took the high road, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to write a book of this, what you're wanting to do, this story that you're telling. I want you to write a book that the saints can read and one that you would want to be read of your life. You know, in my mind, I started writing that out the way that I was going to live it. And I wouldn't want you all to read what I put in there because I took the low road. And the Lord brought it to me that way, and I said, Lord, I wouldn't want to read it that way. It wouldn't encourage me and wouldn't bless me. Then take a higher road. You know, that one, that one just cost me a lot. It cost me myself. It's going to cost me some humility. It's going to cost me something on it. But that was the high road. This is the way we build on the foundation that's laid. And take heed on how you build on it, because I'm going to tell you, for every life here, there's people watching you. I don't mean to be critical, but if I could just name the number of folks that I have heard in a testimony with tears in their eyes say, you all pray for my family. And me sit there and say, then why don't you live it for them? You live it for them. You're damaging them. You're building on the foundation, wood and stubble. They're seeing a life, and the life's no good. We can pray. We can pray, and we can pray. We can't outpray your life. You're building a building of God. You're building something that's going to be there for a long time. And the day's going to declare what it's worth eventually. And in the ages gone on, and when the shipwrecks come and the bad things happen, it's too late. It's too late. You know why Noah built the ark? Yeah, the Lord told him to. No, the Lord told him how to save his family. That's what the Lord told him. The scripture in Hebrews says he built the ark to the saving of his house. He built it so he could save his family. That's motivated him. He done what the Lord told him to do, to accomplish what the Lord told him to accomplish. He wanted there to be people in the world after this. And he told Noah how to do it. Lord, help you and I as we build on this foundation that was laid, that we build gold and silver and precious stones and things that will endure and things that can be said. I don't suppose that I would say that my children would say at the end of my journeying that they would say, He done it all right. But I want them to have the testimony that my daddy loved the Lord and He gave what He had for him. I want it to be said that there was something there that I want above everything else. Yes, I do things with my son. We fish, we hunt, we play, we do things, but we never do it when we're supposed to be in service. We never do it to sacrifice the Lord to do it. We do that first. And I taught my family that. My oldest son, I like to tell this story because God will reward when we build on this foundation. We like to hunt. We're deer hunters. We like to hunt. My son liked to hunt too. And he was a little boy. He was coming up to the age that he needed a hunter safety course in order to hunt. Well, not in order to hunt, but in order to buy a license. That's the way they set it up. He could hunt as long as the season that he was hunting in didn't require him to buy anything. As soon as you got to buy anything, you have to have a hunter safety. That's the way they set it up. So he had to have the hunter safety course. So I knew that the best possibility for him to be successful in deer hunting and actually get a kill of deer was for him to get the hunter safety course and be able to be in those hunts. Well, we found a hunter safety course on Sunday. Now listen, I don't really wrestle that much for myself, but everybody in here that has children knows that there's a little heart string, okay, that goes, that hooks in, that can be pulled. I would have never wrestled for myself, but I wrestled for my son. He wanted that, and I wanted him to have it, and it was going to mean that I was going to have to shirk on a responsibility, not only to the people, but to the Lord. So I talked to my son. And I told him, we're not going to do it. And here's why. It's because serving the Lord is so much more valuable than deer hunting. So much more valuable than hunter safety. And I promise you, you'll be blessed in your life because of it. Okay? He accepted that. And we didn't do it. So he went that year without that. But there was seasons, like I said, that he could hunt. The first day I ever took my son, the first day, he's a little boy, first day he ever deer hunts, he kills a deer. The first day, that year, he killed a deer. He killed a deer the second day he ever went. I never done that. I don't know if anybody else had done that. I told him, the Lord is blessing you. Don't ever forget this lesson. Oh, you say, oh, Brother Marty, God sent deer to him. You believe what you want, okay? I believe he was blessed for putting God first. Then by the next year, he was able to get a hunter safety. He killed 4 deer the next year. And he's been successful ever since. But he remembers the lesson. You build on the foundation. You build on the foundation. You put God first. God is worth it. Jesus is coming down and He's saying, I'm going to lay a foundation. And I've got to lay a good one. Not my will. It wouldn't be much of a foundation had He not done it. Not my will. But Thy will be done. Folks, that is the key to the success of our eternal bound souls You can't lead yourself. It's not within man to walk it, to direct his own steps. Many people have done less, and I won't criticize for it, but I'm going to tell you, it's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to always, always put the Lord first. And it'll pay great dividends in your life. So Jesus goes on. Have you ever had to pray? Now, real spiritual people don't have to pray more than once to get it, right? We pray and believe. Get up out there and believe, I've heard it said. Can I tell you that if you don't hit it right off or you need more, it's okay. Because we got a foundation of that. Jesus actually prays, and it says, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I don't think that's in the other Gospels. But there was an angel that come. During this very tense time, he was added to. You know, when the Lord sees that we're sincere, He'll help us. He'll help us when He sees that we're sincere. And being in agony, prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto him, unto Jesus, and kissed him. Now we know the story. Peter pulls out his sword. Cuts off a priest's high priest's ear. He cuts it off. Brother Larry always said, I wonder if he aimed for that ear. It don't matter, he cut his ear off. Maybe he wasn't aiming for the ear. But he got an ear. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. It's good foundational stuff there. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Peter. We're laying a foundation here. Do you know most of the things that happen in our life and the struggles that we have, if we would be willing to stop and back and look at the situation and put it into spiritual realms, we find out it's the devil. And we're fighting against a brother. We need to be fighting against the brother or Satan. I'll say this and this. I'm not saying, and I hope you all get me, I know there's other things other than service. I remember a testimony, I'm pretty sure that it was Sister Carol's daddy that told this. He didn't like to be late for service. And his wife was on the telephone. And he was wanting to go to service. He didn't want to be late. So he got a little bit, we need to go, attitude. He testified of this testimony. She was helping a soul. There's a lot of work of the Lord, folks. I'm not here to say what it is for you. So I'm not condemning, I don't know. I don't try to know. I'm just saying put the Lord first. I'm just trying to say the Lord, Jesus said, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. I do believe, I really do believe, that if the world can go to them games hours before they go and start the kickoff, if they can go and give that kind of thing. I was out here in Oklahoma. You may have heard me tell them. It was fascinating to me. I heard the news. And the guy says, how is it out at the stadium? This was OU. Oh, he said, it's a sea of red out here. Whatever color is it? It's a sea out here. And I thought, oh, he must be playing football out there at Norman today. Oh, yeah. And he said this and that. And I said, well, I'm thinking it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, he must have noon kickoff out there. And the guy ends up doing his report and says, well, we'll see you at 8 tonight or something like that. Kickoff at 8. Then people's out there at the football stadium grilling and getting ready for football games and hooping and hollering at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I think we ought to be on time for service if we can. Doesn't it say something? But Lord, help us. We're building everything we're doing. We're building. Does the Lord really mean something to us? Or doesn't He? Is it important or isn't it? Do we build on this? Are we building gold? Are we building gold? Are we showing the children that yes, this is important? The needs of our life, do the children see us bringing it to the Lord? Or do we just hem all it away? Are we indifferent about our service? What do they see? Are we building gold and silver? Are we building it up the way the Lord would have it to on that foundation? We're building a building. How's it building? How's it looking? How's the neighbors looking at it? The neighbors see me over there. Oh, I remember one time I really wondered how it did really look. I was working on my car, and I had this piece. I had a flat screwdriver, and I was going to pry something up, and I did pry something up. My fingernail on that finger. The flat screwdriver went right under here and come out back here. When the fingernail was still hooking on, but it pried out in under there. It hurt. I done a little dance right there in the yard, and while I'm doing it, I'm thinking, I wonder what the neighbor... I was careful. Lord, I don't want to be that guy that throws that thing. And the neighbor looked and said, boy, he got it on that one, didn't he? No. Why? Because it don't match the foundation. That's not what the foundation... You know, the Lord had feelings. Do you know Jesus had human feelings? You know, He really was upset when He was in the temple. And He saw them mishandling God's things. He was upset. He was upset. He had human feelings and emotion. But He lays a foundation for you and I to build on. And we're to build on it in that proper and right way. And you know, there is a way to build. There is a way to build. I had a neighbor of mine that I had some difficulties with. And it took a while to get him back. But he come over to my house one time. He seen... My family was out. We was painting my house. My children was out there. My wife was out there. We was all out there. And we was painting the house one day. You know, sometimes we don't think people are even looking or caring. They are. This is a neighbor that drink nothing religious about it. None of those things. Hard man. He comes over there and wants to loan me. What, you need a ladder? I wondered what was going on with him. He's got this... crank out roller deal. You want to use this for all this? You're trying to get me to use it. I really didn't want to use it, but I was being polite and I know it meant something to him, and I was working with him. And finally, I got the reason of what was going on in this man's heart. Very solemnly, he says, "Been watching your family." That's the way a family ought to be. That's not the way his family was. And he looked over there, and it meant something to him. And in his heart, his son was gone, and they was apart, and apart not only in distance, they was apart. And his world was a shambles. And he looked over at the family that he didn't have. And he said, that's the way it ought to be. And all we was doing was painting the house. Do you know we could have run the whole effect of that by bickering? And complaining and fighting and having an uproar all the time. But when he looked over there and seen the solemnity and peace and unity of the family, he looked and longed for it. The only thing we really was doing, folks, was building gold on the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. That's why we live that way. I guarantee you the reason I live that way is because of the Lord Jesus. Because there wasn't a thing about me that would have otherwise. And I wouldn't have been easy to get along with. But the Lord gave me something. And I'm able now to build on the foundation that the Lord gave us. And folks, you have a building that you're building tonight. You're building a building. And as for much as what that building is or is seen, you're the one building it. As Paul said, by the grace of God, I'm a master builder. And by the grace of God, we're a builder. To build on the foundation... The foundation that's Jesus Christ isn't seen. It's underneath. But the house that we build on that foundation is what the world's going to see. They're going to see what Jesus means to us. That's what we're going to try to represent in this. Lord, help us to build the building that the Lord wanted. And I'm going to say again, the day will declare what that building is. Oh, we can build it and put siding on it, and we can make it look good, and we can paint it and make it look good. But if it's flawed on the, if it's flawed, the day will declare that. It's going to show up in that building. As the days go on, there'll be something that's going to show in it. Do you know that you can fake us out? I remember years and years ago, actually just when I was first saved, I remember somebody telling me of this family and said, that is one of the most outstanding families. Little did anyone know. On the outside, it looked so. It was an outstanding. But there was a lot of things that was being built there that wasn't on the foundation. It wasn't good things. And when it was all said and done, the day declared it. And that family shattered. And it shattered because of wood and stubble and hay. And the day ended up declaring it, and it was a wreck. It'll show up in every one of our lives, folks, at the end. If it don't catch it in this life, the Bible's promised us, it'll get you in the next one. It will show up. You pray for me.